FTR Radio is From the Right Radio, online at FTRradio.com.
You're listening to Gillespie, Excellence in Internet Radio, only on FTRradio.com. And welcome back to Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. With us this segment is a good friend of mine. He is state chairman of the Indiana Young Republicans. He is also running for state senate in District 35. Please welcome Daniel Kinnaman. Daniel, how you doing?
I'm pretty good, Josh. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Now, we've been promoting you a bit on the Twitters. We've been trying to get some love for Daniel. Like I said, he's a young Republican. He's one of us. And he's running in a bit of a tight primary. First of all, Daniel, tell us a little bit about the district and a bit about your platform.
The district is mainly Speedway in the southwest side of Indianapolis, Decatur Township, and then the northeast corner of Hendricks County or Plainfield/Guilford Township and Liberty Township, just immediately west of Plainfield.
Okay, so what are some of the main points that you're running on in this particular campaign?
The main points are what I call the JEB platform, jobs, education, budget. First of all, for jobs, I look at it as I'm in the venture capital brokerage business, and for a living right now, what I do is help start and grow companies. And I think too often, when we send someone to office to look at job growth, they look at it with a one tool in the belt, tax cuts, et cetera, which, while a very useful tool, it's not the only tool that's out there. And what we really want to do is teach companies how to be able to ask for capital from the private sector and use that as their means of helping themselves out.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can teach someone to fish rather than giving them a fish, I think that's a better long-term solution.
Sure, absolutely. Now, you're running in a primary actually against the incumbent. There seems to be a lot of incumbent people running against incumbents this particular cycle. What made you decide to get in this particular race?
When I looked at this particular race, I felt that there was a need that was strongly being undermet in the current legislature, and that's not a criticism of any of the current legislators or even the current incumbent, but rather we have a few too many attorneys and a few too many people that have been there for 20 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the time to bring in fresh ideas, people that had actually been in the business sector making jobs, actually doing what it really takes to get things going. And while we have a few young Republicans currently in office, Jim Banks and Tim Westfield being among them, the under 40 crowd being represented at the Indiana State House right now is very thin.
Yeah, I would definitely say it is a little thin. How has the reception been to your candidacy?
I will be honest, I've been blown away by the reception for my candidacy. As I've been walking the different townships, the fact that I'm knocking on doors, and I had a person over in Speedway the other day to tell me that I was actually the first candidate, non-party person, to knock on their door to ask him for a vote since Bobby Kennedy. Obviously,
really?
It wasn't a young gentleman.
That oh, wow.
It was very surprising when you find out, you know, and it's too easy, I think, oftentimes, especially for incumbents, to just sort of take voters for granted, depend on the party machines to help get them reelected, especially if they don't have challengers. And I think we've seen that really up and down the state where people have said, you know, they forget who actually put us there. And I think when I've been out talking to the voters, it's the biggest pick-me-up I can get, because not only has it helped with my message, but it's also helped sharpen what the real needs in the district are. And over, the big thing I thought, I knew education is a top issue on everyone's mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew specifically that I wanted to look at math and science to be able to compete for the jobs of the future. But as I was talking with folks, the number of people that said we need vocational skills And so it's almost become a tagline for me now. We need to prepare kids both for college and not to just have a job at Burger King, because right now we prepare them for one or the other. If you graduate from high school today and you don't go to college, you are left with very, very few job skill choices.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a critical element that's missing. There's no longer the factory jobs, et cetera, that you could go to a generation ago and make a living.
That's a good point. I mean, you know, Governor Mitch Daniels, as he approaches the end of his two terms as governor, he's left Indiana in a very good shape, both fiscally, and he's brought a lot of reform to the state of Indiana. But you're bringing up actually a subject in terms of vocational educational training. That I think that's basically the next step that Indiana needs to go, because we have been a factory state. And I think you're really hitting on something here in terms of where we need to be focusing. Just because there seems to be, like I said, Governor Daniels has covered so much. What else would you say that we need to be focusing on as a state in the next 4 to 8 years? As I mean, we're going to be getting a new governor. We're going to be getting a brand new legislature. I mean, due to redistricting, we're having a number of seats that we're going to be seeing some turnover. You know, what would you say are some of the things outside of, you know, what you mentioned already that Indiana needs to be focusing on?
I really think that what Indiana needs to be focusing on is where it wants to be. And I guess I look at this with almost 2 decades in business, sort of like a long-term business plan. What do you, if this were a company, what do you want to look like 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now? Governor Daniels identified a few areas that he would like to see us expand. And then we've started a little bit of the life sciences cottage industry here with some of the venture seed money that we've started to try to accumulate.
Uh-huh.
But really, I think it's above and beyond that. If we want high-paying jobs, if we want things that are going into that, we need to create an environment where people want to come to the state, people want to live. And one of the things I remember very much is a talk that former Secretary of Commerce, Nate Feltman, gave, and he said that one of the key issues that you have in attracting companies is schools.
Uh-huh.
And it's for 2 reasons. One, it's your future employees. But two, no executive is going to move his company and his family to a place that has inadequate schools for his own children. So there's a little self-servingness on the part of the people that are doing that. So I still think that school issue is going to be up at the top of the front of the pack, and I think you're going to see that it's not an easy issue because it is the number one expense for the state. Another issue that I think is going to come up is, no matter how much we want to say otherwise, Obamacare or Affordable Health Care Act, however you choose to call it, is still going to be an issue. And what folks don't realize is how much of that burden has been pushed back down on the state. So that is going to put our state, and every state in the union for that matter, under tremendous fiscal burden for the new coverages and requirements that are going to take place there. So you're going to have an increase in cost there. Then it's learning to prioritize. And I think too often we see in budgets, we think, okay, we have a good budget because we spent less than we took in. Well, that just means that you were fiscally responsible and didn't spend on a credit card. But it's sort of like going shopping and you are buying for the family, but you come home with bonbons, Twinkies, ho-hos, and a few sugar, couple cases of soda.
Yeah.
That's not responsible shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And so just because you spent less than you were told to go out and spend does not mean that you did a good job on a budget. And so I think we need to really look at prioritizing what are our needs and then fill back into our wants, rather than start off with what our wants are and hope and pray we have enough for what our needs are.
We're talking with Daniel Kinnaman, candidate for State Senate District 35 here in Indiana. Daniel, in the few seconds we have left, what are you going to be doing in the week left before the primary, and how can people get involved to help you out?
The two easiest ways to get involved or directly contact my campaign is www.votekinnaman.com or on Facebook, Kinnaman for State Senator District 35. We are walking every day of the week. We have been for close to 3 months now. We have knocked on 6,000 doors, but we'd like to get another 1,000 knocked out this last week. We're also phone banking actively to make sure that we are reaching out to voters, letting them know that we appreciate them and do want their support.
Well, Daniel, like I said, is a fresh face. This is a guy that we support here on this show, and that we hope that you guys can help get behind. Again, check him out at votekinnaman.com. That's KINNAMON.com. Daniel, thanks for being on the show this week.
Thank you, Josh. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're listening to Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. We'll be right back after this.
FTR Radio salutes some of the great Democrat presidents in the radio era. FTR Radio.